Support for this podcast comes from Is Business Broken, a podcast from BU Questrom School of Business. ESG, or Environmental, Social, Governance, promises to help the bottom line and the planet at the same time. Is it too good to be true? Stick around until the end of this podcast for a preview of an episode digging into that very question.
Hey, it's Daryl C. Murphy, and I just want to talk to you real quick. The Common is produced at WBUR in Boston. We're public media. We don't have paywalls, which means we don't ask you to pay to see our work. We say, here's some powerful stories for free. And then, if some of those stories you read or listen to are important to you and you talk about it with your friends and family, and you even see the world a little differently, then we ask you to support it. Because we want to continue making work that is meaningful to you. And right now, I want to let you know what's happening at WBUR. Our radio shows, our podcasts are getting some of the biggest audiences we've ever had. Our journalism is winning awards, reaching new and more diverse audiences. And you are a big part of that. Our journalism has never been stronger, but the business has never been harder. We've had a big loss of sponsorship dollars, like a lot of media companies have in recent years. But one thing we've always been pretty good at is getting support from our listeners to make the things they love. So we're asking right now, in a crucial moment for WBUR, can you help us get through this by joining other listeners in supporting WBUR? We need your help to keep making the podcast you're listening to right now, along with everything else that comes from WBUR. Your help would mean a lot to me and to all of my colleagues. So please, head to our website, WBUR.org. Thanks.
WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and you're listening to The Common. Martha Biebinger, WBUR reporter. Thank you so much for coming back to The Common.
So happy to be here, Daryl.
Well, Martha, unfortunately, it's for a very sad story, but one that is not quite new, right? But the Boston Public Health Commission has a new analysis that looks at the different life expectancies from one neighborhood to the next. And two areas they focus on is Nubian Square in Roxbury and Copley Square in Back Bay, a 40-minute walk from each other, yet the difference in life expectancy is 23 years.
Mm-hmm.
Martha, tell us about some of the key findings in this new analysis.
Yeah, so the Boston Public Health Commission thought that it was important to look at life expectancy by census tract. So that's like, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 people or so, because they wanted to highlight the real disparities and the real differences that we see between communities on that level, what they call pockets of deprivation. So if you look at a comparison of these two neighborhoods, Daryl, you see that the median household income is about 41,000 as compared to 141,000 in the Back Bay. In Nubian Square, about 44% of people graduate from college. In the Back Bay, it's 91%. If you talk about home ownership, it's double in the Back Bay compared to Nubian Square. And of course, the Nubian Square area is largely Black and Brown folks. You know, just 13% of residents there are white as compared to 82% in the Back Bay. So we're seeing the really stark differences that translate to health outcomes for people. Because if you can't pay your bills, if you are dealing with racism and insult, if you're living in substandard housing, if you don't have education and opportunities that leads to, you develop these patterns of stress that eventually sort of break down your body. And that kind of chronic stress is eventually incredibly debilitating. I talked about that with Boston's Public Health Commissioner, Dr. Bizola Ojikutu, as we walked through Nubian Square.
And that chronic stress leads to higher blood pressure, it leads to higher cortisol levels, it leads to increased risk for cardiovascular disease, it leads to weight gain and risk of diabetes. So all these things are important in terms of health.
So Gerald, what you see there is how where you live starts to translate into stress and some very real health triggers, you know, like lead paint or mold that leads to asthma or worse, air pollution. But then all of those things build up into these diseases that will basically kill you sooner than somebody who isn't dealing with all of those stressors.
And that brings us to this term, weathering. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, there's a researcher who has who out of Michigan who's coined that term, and it's a concept that really resonates with people because the chronic stress that Dr. Ojikutu describes is kind of like a storm that keeps hitting the body. You know, if you're standing in the wind, if you're standing in the rain, you're going to get beaten down faster and more heavily than somebody who lives in a lovely sheltered home. So it's the sense of how these small infractions, these pieces all fit together to really break down the bodies of people who have to deal with these additional stresses. And that's the weathering effect.
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with more from Martha.
Support for this podcast comes from Is Business Broken, a podcast from BU Questrom School of Business. A recent episode featured a debate about ESG, or environmental social governance.
This sounds like more work than just putting your money into a social impact fund.
It's a lot more work.
Yeah.
Anybody who thinks there's an easy solution here is either engaged in puffery, greenwash, or deceiving themselves.
Stick around until the end of this podcast for a preview of the episode.
Politics has never been stranger or more online, which is why the politics team at Wired is making a new show, Wired Politics Lab. It's all about how to navigate the endless stream of news and information and what to look out for. Each week on the show, we'll dig into far-right platforms, AI chatbots, influencer campaigns, and so much more. Wired Politics Lab launches Thursday, April 11th. Follow the show wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Okay, so Martha, 23 years is a pretty wide gap. But are we seeing any progress towards closing this gap? You know, how does this compare to previous analysis?
So in 2012, there was a study published. It was looking at data from 2003 to 2007, and it found a 33-year gap in life expectancy. It wasn't the exact same census tract in Roxbury. It was another part of Roxbury. And that report did prompt a lot of action. So we've seen some improvement now in the life expectancy gap, although it may have to do with gentrification and some other complex issues. But let's assume that there has been some progress. One of the things that Dr. Ojikutu points to, we don't know for sure that this is what made a difference, but Whittier Street Health Center, which covers this area of Roxbury, started doing some things really differently in 2012. They started going into the housing complex to reach people who hadn't been checking in to see their doctor. But if you're not getting checked for diabetes or high blood pressure or any number of other chronic diseases, you're not getting treatment. And you're probably going to die younger. So Whittier Street started going out into the community to find patients who weren't coming in to see physicians. And they started prioritizing them. You know, who's at highest risk? Who's moderate risk? Who's lower risk? And maybe can just come in for their annual checkups. Those patients at higher risk started getting a whole package of clinicians to support them, including a case manager who would help them with things like housing and food assistance, and maybe even searching for jobs. So they started treating all of these factors, what are called social determinants, in the patients' lives to try to make a difference. And many people say, we probably need to do more of that now to help close this gap.
And this report didn't just focus on Roxbury and Back Bay, right? It looked at the whole city. So what does this report tell us about life expectancy more broadly here?
You know, overall, it's not great. Residents are dying earlier, whether we're talking about premature death or deaths overall, or in some cases, life expectancy has shifted. But that's not just true in Boston. You know, we've been hearing that nationally for two reasons I want to highlight. You know, one, of course, is COVID. And the other is this notion of deaths of despair, which is people who essentially have an addiction, or perhaps they die by suicide, or there's some cause of death that really indicates basically not being able to live a life where they're thriving. So in Boston, you know, when you talk about premature deaths, this is deaths before age 65, we saw a 12% increase in premature death. For all races, for Black or African-American residents in particular, it was 37%, really particularly high. And we used to see that cancer was the leading cause of premature death. The report covers the period 2017 to 2021, so that five-year span. The first 2 years of that report, cancer was still the leading cause. But then in Boston, accidental deaths took over in those most recent years, and that's overdoses. That's the increase in opioid-related overdoses, yeah.
You touched on this a little bit when you mentioned the impact of racism, right? Like mm-hmm. racist insults and quote-unquote microaggressions, whatever they might yeah. be called. But can you talk more about how the legacy of racism, you know, segregation, redlining, et cetera, how that is showing up in this report?
So for life expectancy overall, what we're seeing in Boston by race is that there is a big gap. The average number for Boston, all races, is 80 years of age. But then if you look, Asians actually live significantly longer, 86 years of age. For Blacks, it's 78 years of age. For Latino or Hispanic folks, it's 84 years of age. And Dr. Ojikutu really hopes that this report will galvanize action. But what she's wondering, Daryl, is whether people care enough, whether they really want to make a change.
In this incredibly resource-rich city, we still have these persistent challenges. We have people dying before they should. And I think the only way that we will make a difference is if we do something that really is radically different and we work together to change these dynamics.
And what she's talking about there, Daryl, is hospitals, other nonprofits, governments, employers really stepping up with some targeted, concerted investments in these pockets of deprivation, these communities where people are really struggling. She's also saying, you know, we want some momentum for the reparations conversation. She sort of candidly says, you know, maybe we need to call it something else, but we need to talk about correcting this imbalance that has developed over decades. And she's hoping that these numbers that show such a stark difference in how many years of life you can actually expect to live based on your race and your income, she's hoping those numbers will push that conversation forward.
Well, Martha, thank you so much for this reporting. People need to know that things need to change and that these conditions are not ideal for everybody. And people are really out here hurting. So we thank you very much for coming to the Common and talking with us about it.
Thank you for having me, Daryl.
That's WBUR reporter Martha Biebinger. And if you or someone you know is having thoughts of suicide, please call the National Suicide and Crisis Lifeline at 988. And that's our show for today. Thank you so much for listening to The Common. If you have any thoughts on this episode and you want to let us know about what needs to change in the city to make it better for everybody, hit us up on Instagram at WBURTheCommon or send us an email at thecommon@wbur.org. I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Support for this podcast comes from Is Business Broken, a podcast from BU Questrom School of Business. Listen on for a preview of one of the episodes.
Can Profit Motive Save the Planet is a company that takes the climate into account a better investment? How about one that pays workers a living wage and champions transparency and board diversity? That's the idea of ESG, or environmental social governance.
Sounds like a wonderful story. You can make more money, you can save the planet at the same time. Almost no one is going to turn that down.
It's a story that Andy King of Questrom and Veet Henish of the Wharton School challenged during a recent event at Questrom. Professor King played the critic, who says these are problems for regulation to solve, not markets.
As a famous economist said to me, you can't fix externalities with the profit motive, because the profit motive is not linked to externalities. Externalities are the byproduct of pursuing profits, so you can't fix them by getting people to even look harder at profits.
Meanwhile, Veet emphasized that ESG can be an important part of the solution.
Regulation matters, and we need better regulation. And we need to reallocate trillions of dollars of capital over time to the climate transition alone, forgetting social justice, racial justice, and other ESG issues. We're going to need the profit motive for that. No government regulation is going to reallocate tens of trillions of dollars of capital alone. It's going to be investors who are looking at current government regulation and future government regulation and trying to connect the dots.
Find the full episode by searching for Is Business Broken wherever you listen to podcasts, and learn more about the Mehrotra Institute for Business, Markets, and Society at ibms.bu.edu.